Hey everyone, welcome to a special episode of the podcast. I've compiled, with the help of some folks on the Facebook fan group, the favorite moments from the first 75 episodes of the Flophouse. Thanks to Jason Michael McIsaac for pulling a lot of these sound files for me. Actually, all of these sound files for me. We hope you enjoy this special best of, and why not use this to maybe introduce other people into the Flophouse fold? It would be a good way for new fans to sort of get an idea of what the show's all about. So thanks for listening.
Your son has been burned.
Now, why would he learn by telegram? His son didn't die overseas.
I imagine that everyone whose sons die, they get a telegram about it.
Yep. Someone. Somebody from the War Department shows up.
Well, maybe he was an FBI agent.
Sure.
It's maybe not even close. Right. Not even close.
He used telegrams. But ultimately, there was just...
Teddygrams?
I'm sorry, all the World War II wives whose husbands were dreaded those teddygrams.
We're sorry about your son. Here's some teddygrams. Maybe that'll cheer you
those
up.
Those chocolate ones were so gross, dude.
They're little bear cookies. Maybe that'll take its place in your heart.
Maybe this will ease some of the sting. It's a little cracker that looks like a bear. Anyway,
oh, come on, thanks, Tom.
I got a lot of Teddy Grahams to give out today. I'll see you later, I guess.
Wait a minute. So he might see her again? Like, I don't know, I'll see her around.
It's distasteful to hit on a woman just then, but he knows she's single. He's going to come back with more Teddy Grahams.
Yeah. Catch you on the flip side.
Her husband died as well as her son. She's all alone.
So it looks like a Teddy Graham delivery guy can give her.
Any man who gives her a Teddy Graham, she's just going to be so grateful.
Well, that's what it was like in Europe after the war. The occupying soldier just had to give girls Teddy Grahams and they could do whatever they wanted. You know?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It was a Teddy Graham based economy.
Let's make it clear that the killer initially
looked like
Charles Manson. This is a high school teacher.
Or Jim Caviezel in Passion of the Christ.
Like everybody's high school teacher.
But he looks like a crazy bum killer.
Like everybody's high school gym teacher or science teacher. He looks like he crawled out from under the boardwalk and then got to class, taught you, and then went to a crack house.
And then hung out with Brian Wilson and killed a bunch of people.
He gets into a men's hospital. They shave off his crazy hair and beard, and he escapes looking, you know, like a shorn person. But the picture they're working off of is still his mugshot from 3 years ago with the hair and the beard. And every time they show it to people, they're like, no, haven't seen this guy. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Haven't seen that guy wearing the ski mask and the cowboy hat.
Yeah, I was saying that I wanted, like, there's a point in which one of the teens, like, sees and is like, there's something about that guy that rings a bell. And I wanted a scene where she somehow
Wait,
gets,
was that
like,
Columbo?
Yeah.
And just one more thing.
But, like, I wanted a scene where she somehow got a hold of a photo of the guy, and then she, like, drew, like, a beard on him and a mustache. I'm like, holy shit. It's like, or, like, some, like, novelty, like, mustache and beard sticker, like, got put on that.
The picture actually falls into a Woolly Willy magnet and metal shavings toy, and she arranges the beard around it.
Or she's standing across a crowded room from the guy. The guy turns toward her, and somebody else hands, like, a phony beard and mustache to a friend across her line of vision.
She's behind a plate glass window.
For a moment.
Some Joker's like, look what happens when I draw. It looks like that guy's a mustache and a beard. Wait a minute.
He enters a Manson lookalike contest and puts on a fake beard. Has there ever been a joke in a TV show where there's a police sketch artist using a Woolly Willy to put together sketches of criminals?
I think so.
Oh, that
sounds like
that's
it.
That's a funny joke.
Sounds like a Family Guy joke.
Yeah, you're right. Now I hate it.
Burn.
He's a house cat.
She played Queen Amygdala.
She had babies, Darth Vader's babies.
Yeah, and then she died out of a lack of will to live. That was so, it's like she lost the will to live. And I got so mad because I was like, what about her fucking kid she just had?
Like, second of all, like a robot? Like, was that like animal?
I do love that the robot, there's a nurse bot that it knows human emotion better than the Jedi's do. Like, that scene would have worked so much better if she died and the nurse bot was like, I don't understand. Her vital signs are fine. And someone said, she just lost the will to live. And the robot's like, huh? And looks confused. But instead,
and then melts.
Yeah, and then melts out of the logic loop.
Yeah, but shooting out sparks
it's
out
just
of
like the
tears.
Kobayashi
or,
Maru.
Or if there's a later scene where you see the robot at home where like the robot's like, I didn't have the heart to tell them I never passed my roboting medical exam.
I've been practicing without a robo license. lost the will to live. I guess that's really because they're bleeding all over the place. Is that really what?
Man, 15 of your patients lost the will to live this week. It's terrible.
You got the worst luck, nurse bot. Yeah, I know. Pretty bad, huh? Beep, beep, boop, boop.
Oh, rats.
Now it's someone just pretending to be a robot?
Yeah,
pretty much. Dance a poo-doo.
No Java Wonga.
Man, we could do that forever.
Any occupation that you can rhyme things with.
That's, yeah, that's
why don't you do
the,
it
that's
at
how,
home, listeners.
Yeah, that's how you do the formation of the joke, right?
Think up an inappropriate occupation and then reverse engineer a title.
Like penis gobbler.
I'll show you. That would be Mr. McGobblers. No, that doesn't make sense.
Mr. Meanest Gobblers.
Mr. Mark Knopfler's Penis Gobblers.
Exactly. No, which is a great album. You should buy it. Maybe for your dad for Christmas.
I think your dad
enjoys the smooth sounds of Mark Knopfler.
The Dire Straits album, Penis Gobblers.
Oh, dear. We do have
this was
fun.
Supposed to be called I Still Want My MTV. Why did you... Who made this unauthorized title change? Mr. Knopfler, right? Well, we didn't expect you to come down here, sir.
We were just screwing around, but we were just fooling around with Photoshop, and, well, we accidentally hit save.
And by then, the system was in charge. It was too late.
He's a house cat.
To have so many movies about hitmen, and you know, a good hitman story, I'm fine with. I don't care. When I was a kid, Boba Fett was my favorite Star Wars character. Whatever, sure. Dude. But
I don't know if he was out. I don't think he had like a hit out on Han Solo. I mean, he did.
He was more of a bounty hunter.
He was a bounty hunter, but he would kill.
Yeah, I guess.
You have to assume he killed plenty. I mean, it is the Star Wars universe, so probably everyone shot at him first, but he did kill them.
Right. Yeah. Then he got eaten by a giant anus in the ground.
Yeah, but that in the books he's escaped from that, so it's okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Timothy Zahn.
That was the one moment in Return of the Jedi where it felt like David Cronenberg had started directing the film. Wait, there's a giant anus that eats people in the middle of the desert?
Just in the ground somewhere?
I don't understand.
I think it burps after eating Boba
Fett,
it
does,
right?
Which implies that it has a stomach and a side, like a throat, everything.
And it has a sense of comic timing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about that Sarlacc. It really knows when to. That's also
it also burps really fast, considering that it slowly digests over
thousands of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything in Return of the Jedi burps after eating. Jabba the Hutt eats a frog, burps. That little thing that sticks out of the desert ground zaps a bug with its tongue, burps.
You're talking about Salacious Crumb. Yeah.
Salacious Crumb.
He
would have
used
burp.
The name. I trust Elliot.
Come on. Thank you. This was the, we were doing it worked today. We were doing Jack Nicholson impressions of
Rebo, Size Snoodles.
They're all there.
The Rancor, probably.
A Man,
I
a Man, Yak Man. they're all. I wish I could remember the name of the Rancor keeper, but I forgot his name.
Admiral Ackbar, probably. I don't fucking care.
We were doing Jack Nicholson in other roles today, so it was like Jack Nicholson in other things, and I.
Chief Chirpa.
And my contribution to that was Jack Nicholson as Bib Fortuna. Just no Jabba Wonga, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Sure.
Hey, man, no Jabba no Bada. And again, my favorite thing in Return of the Jedi, they create Huddies as a language, and the Huddies phrase for Jedi mind trick is Jedi mind trick. Huddies does not have a word for a mind or for trick.
Look.
The great mobster race of the universe has no word for trick.
I don't know. I mean, like, That makes sense to me. It's like in France where they're like le blue jeans, you know.
But blue jeans are an invention that was brought to them. It's not a common everyday thing,
you know,
like tricking.
Jedi's are not common in the
Hutt. No, it's not Jedi culture. that I have such an issue with. It's mind trick.
Oh, I see.
So they've never referred to their minds or tricking.
Maybe they say mind trick because they give no credence to it. They think it's bullshit. They're trying to like lessen it in the eyes of their race.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, this is off topic, but
really?
I'm just a hitmen are just
we
so.
We didn't watch Return of the Jedi tonight.
Here's my problem: the Ewoks are so technologically primitive. The Zulu Wars show us that.
What I don't understand
clearly
is how
the Ewoks are the Vietnamese.
There's that one moment in that movie where the one Ewok.
It was a war of attrition that took a day and a half. That was the problem with the Imperial Army.
It's that one moment where the one Ewok looks to the other guy when C-3PO says some bullshit, and the one Ewok looks to his friend and goes, "That guy's wise." And you're like, "Holy shit, he just spoke English for a second."
I don't remember that part.
You need to watch it again, I promise.
I usually stop watching Return of the Jedi after they get away from Jabba's palace.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Wait, Keith Sutherland?
Keith or Sutherland. Son of Don Al Sutherland.
He's been a little typecast lately, ever since he was on that 24 Hours show.
ever since he's been a successful actor on a successful television show, he's been typecast.
Yeah, everybody thinks 24 Hours. Everybody thinks that he's always this like hard-nosed FBI agent guy who's only got 24 hours to live or something. He's got to spend a lot of time talking on the phone.
Be great if that was the premise, and then by the fourth season, it's like, you only have 24 hours to live. Again?
It's like, Mr. President, I'm going to need the antidote right away.
Nope, not till you finish the case.
You can't do that this time, Keith Sutherland.
Wait, so his character is named Keith Sutherland?
It's a stretch.
It's hard. Like, he doesn't.
It's acting,
like,
Dan.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld playing himself.
Oh, man.
When he played Jeremy Seinfeld.
He's a house cat. So I was kind of hoping this would also follow the trend of having a great twist and being really gory and awesome.
It had a great twist. He's stuck in the mirror at the end.
Wait, what?
He gets trapped in the mirror, and that's why the writing is backwards.
Come on, what are you talking about? Wait, that's why the writing was backwards?
Yes, because he's trapped in the mirror.
I thought, like, the rock hit him on the head and he was retarded or something.
No. That would be a very different understanding of the film.
I was going to say, because that was really sad.
How's he going to support his family?
It's like Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah, it's exactly like Flowers for Algernon. It was better than normal in the movies we've seen.
I mean, wait, like compared to what?
Like compared to what?
Mirrors?
Yeah, basically.
Well, yeah, that's fair, but that didn't make it good.
But Mirrors had that great twist ending, so that made it everything okay.
What?
Twist, you know, ending at the end of Mirrors.
You know, where he ends up stuck in the mirror world.
Wait, what movie was this?
This is in Mirrors.
What?
It's Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Wait, in that movie? That happened?
At the end of that, he ends up in a mirror world.
He's stuck in the mirror.
What are you talking about?
It's the twist ending.
Get out of here. That didn't happen. Not like turning your car into like a flying dinosaur monster.
No, they do briefly go into a mirror world.
Which
where
was,
the Yahoo
like
sign in Times Square is backwards. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Kiefer Sutherland in the movie Mirrors. At the end of the movie, he goes into a mirror world.
What are you talking about?
No, he gets trapped in the mirror world.
For real?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's a house cat.
While she was filling out her form, a guy went, "Excuse me, you were supposed to have a press pass for me? I'm from aquafan.blogspot.com, I guess an Aquaman fan site or something like that." And she goes, "Oh, well, can you spell that out? We'll get the paperwork for you together." So, not a high bar set for the press at Comic-Con.
So, everyone out there, go to aquafan.blogspot.com.
Yeah, I may
nice
have forgotten the URL.
Advertising, dude.
Let's see if that's a real URL, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Aquafan. Okay, it looks like aquafan.blogspot.com is underwater sex experience. Has anyone tried it yet? There's only one post here, guys, and it's just asking if anybody's had sex underwater and if it was awesome or something. Yeah, this is really weird.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Flop House. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin, don't you know?
So, guys, I don't know about you guys, but I had a really exciting weekend last weekend.
What happened?
I went upstate to a sculpture garden.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And I bought some new shoes in an outlet mall.
Oh, nice. Do you got a good deal on those?
Yeah. Yeah, just really exciting. Stuart, I bet you did something exciting.
I had a lot of sex.
That's always great. Fun, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I was spent, like, totally.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it was crazy. Like, I had to stop and drink some Gatorade in the middle.
That's memorable.
Yeah.
But, Ellie, don't worry about it. I think the things are going to work out for you at some point.
Yeah, I didn't have such a great weekend.
Just out of curiosity, what did you do last weekend?
Not a lot. Danielle and I were out of town, just kind of visiting friends. I won the 2009 Emmy for Best Writing for a Comedy Musical or Variety Program. I finished Alan Moore's Voice of the Fire.
I think we're going to take you back.
That was pretty good.
To before that Alan Moore thing. Just like step back a little bit.
Oh, you've read Voice of the Fire already?
No. We'll talk about that later, but the thing before that, what were you saying?
Well, we were out of town. We were visiting some friends.
No, but later than that.
People we knew from college, Danielle's sister and her boyfriend.
Who's Danielle again?
My fiance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense, because I thought you were just mispronouncing Dan's name.
Mm. No. Dan had quite a weekend.
Yeah.
He got the shoes.
But no, I think there was something
upstate.
In between.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That you did that.
I don't think like when I went, notable. We were out of town, visited some friends, won an Emmy,
okay,
finished the Alan Moore book.
Now that's where I'm going to stop.
Came back into town
because I think it seems to me that winning an Emmy.
Would
be considered
an Emmy? Emmy? No, an Emmy. It's an award. It's the highest award in television. It doesn't really mean anything.
Higher than a daytime Emmy.
Well, they're the same award, but
higher
for different levels of programming. Again, same award for different types of programming.
Okay.
Mine happened to be a primetime Emmy, which means, like, you know, we went on, Doogie Howser was the host, and we went on stage, and I was on television, and there's a picture of me and Hollywood Reporter with my boss, and, you know, talked to the press a little bit. You know, these things happen. It's work, you know.
I guess I'm just going to throw out those shoes then.
Yeah,
that I bought.
No, those are good shoes. I want to hear about this story. What kind of, you said they were patent leather. What color are they, those shoes?
So, Elliot, I noticed
insoles.
I noticed that you're wearing your Emmy around your neck.
Yeah, it's a little heavy.
And Flava Flav style.
Yeah. Well,
is that the world she's holding up?
I think it represents an atom with electrons going around, because television is the harnessing of the electron to see images. I mean, it was designed in the late 40s, so, you know, it has those kinds of
Art Deco
styling.
So she's not like a weird
styling.
Like Atlas figure.
No, she's kind of like an angel with lightning bolt wings, giving, and those are sharp. Watch out, holding the atom out in the electron. It's a beautiful piece of work. Anyway, so these shoes.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I'll probably wear them to your wedding.
Yeah, next
Elliot.
Year.
Are those...
I mean, it's been kind of a humdrum summer for me. I got engaged. Then a couple months later, I won an Emmy. Stuart, you said you were doing it a lot.
Yeah, I had a lot of sex. I shot an assault rifle. Got a tattoo.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
These shoes are just going lower and lower.
No, I mean, are they the ones you're wearing now? Those look nice.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw these out.
He's a house cat. Those are like the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure.
that was too new a movie to show on Up All Night.
Should we just stick to these bad movies and their recommendations for the week?
The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure implies there's an adventure in the film.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Which there is, of course, none of.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's bikinis and there's topless chicks.
That's true, and they do go off-road.
There's like there's some wise Native American dudes.
That is the trope of there's one woman and it keeps losing her top, and then the wise Native American collects them and returns them.
Yeah, Willie Tallsall. That's the character's name.
I forgot that was his name.
Isn't there like a bikini traffic school?
Yes, I think. I've never seen it, but
saw that one. I don't understand. That was one I didn't get because it seemed like a traffic school in the sense that it was related somehow to city government. It wasn't like a private organization, but it still had that plot where land developers wanted to take it over, and they had to turn into a bikini organization to save it. And this is not a profit business doing a traffic school.
You guys remember it was like the stand-up comedy boom of the 80s, the bikini business boom, when there were just bikini businesses springing up all over the country.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bikini car washes, bikini bistros, bikini hotels, bikini airlines.
Yeah. And there was also that boom in evil land developers.
Around the same time.
Yeah, who were always trying to, like, shut mom-and-pop organizations
down. Or community centers. Yeah, sure. For some reason, the economy at that point just favored bikinis and evil land developers.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is, like, despite, you know, I'm you know, an adult. But still, if, like, one of those bikini movies comes on, like, I'll look around and actually kind of feel like I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents might walk in and catch me. Yeah. And I've seen actual pornography. Like,
right. And you don't ever feel – you don't care if your parents walk in and see you watching that.
No, because, I mean, most of it's pornography featuring, like, dead bodies and stuff. So it's not like it's real pornography.
Even as a grown adult, I also prefer
– it's a crazy, like, thing to say.
Prefer, like, the silly TNA comedies to, like, other forms of, like, bad softcore.
No, well, there's a lightness to it.
Because, yeah, well, I mean, as someone who grew up, you know, staying up secretly to watch whatever, you know, like...
Pornography.
So many.
Yeah, whatever.
It wasn't Charlie Rose that you were staying up to see. Someone who stayed up to see Live at the Apollo.
Sometimes I did stay up to see Charlie Rose. But so many of the, like, softcore erotic thrillers are about a guy out there who's killing strippers.
Yeah, and that's not so fun.
That's, like, unsexy on two levels. Number one, like, you know, strippers, it's fine. Like, it's good. I'm still seeing someone who's naked, but... it's like the least sexy version of that, because you're like, okay, well, I'm watching a movie about someone whose job is to take their clothes off. It's not like I'm seeing characters who I wouldn't normally see naked. Like, it's like, okay, these are characters who... this is their job to be naked, and then they get killed. Like, that doesn't add any... I don't...
There's so you're saying you wouldn't be turned on by a movie about naked cave women.
Right,
because that's kind of their job.
No, it's not their job to be naked.
I mean, they don't really have a job. Like, they don't, like, put on, like, take a briefcase and go somewhere.
There's a difference between unhappily being paid to take your clothes off and not yet having knowledge of clothes.
I'm saying... Yeah, I'm saying that, like...
Who would he be on Night Court? The bailiff? Not the bailiff.
Yeah, he's not the Mac. Clerk?
Yeah, yeah, Mac. That's who he'd be.
Wait, would I get to be...
No.
You'd be Harry, and I'd be John Larroquette, right?
Yeah, of course.
Game feeling, sure. Of that course. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'd be okay being
Can we
Mac.
Go do that?
Yes. Yeah, literally. How? Yeah, I'll start up the holodeck. We can have our Night Court adventure. Can we do that?
Wait,
what does that even
is
mean?
Is some dude with a Tommy gun going to show up and just...
It's a holodeck, yeah. A Tommy gun or, you know, Sherlock Holmes or something.
Adventure. By the way, do not start up the holodeck, because Moriarty is going to figure out some way of getting off the holodeck.
Oh, becoming real.
And ruining everything.
Oh, man.
Can we do that? What does it mean? I don't know what you're asking.
Stuart wants someone to build us a Night Court set, and we would get some old Night Court scripts, I think, and we would just live inside Night Court.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Forever.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, man, I needed that one. Yeah. So, Night Court.
So to sum
Thanks,
up...
Night Court. This one's for you.
To sum up, our new tagline is, kind of like Night Court.
Wish it was Night Court.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait. Do you do magic?
I don't, but I could learn it if it meant I could be Judge Harry.
Yeah, okay.
It's just too bad. I like Mel Torme well enough.
Past. We could get him on the Flophouse. He'd just like Night Court.
Oh, yeah. Because he was often on Night Court.
He guessed it a few times. Anyway, this one's called... this letter is called...
I bet we could get Yakov Smirnov.
We probably could get... what's her face?
Marky Post?
Marky Post. You know, if we had a... We got a grand together. If we scraped a grand together, we could probably get Marky Post.
Well, yeah, but I want to pay for Cinderella to play at my my 30th birthday, so that's where my grand's going.
Okay.
He's a house cat.
Was your reaction to the fact that all the angels could get easily mowed down by machine guns in the Legion trailer and indeed the Legion film?
They are the weakest, most... unintimidating angels, and it mainly one of us would interview the other about how to kill angels.
if these angels are so weak, I mean, they got to be really smart or something, right?
No, they're actually dumber than normal people.
Okay. Are they really tall? Are they, like, superhumanly tall?
Average height is about 5'3".
Do they have claws on their hands instead of regular fingers?
They're actually missing some fingers.
Okay. Can they, like, breathe fire or shoot lasers out of their
eyes? They have asthma and poor eyesight.
And so on and so forth.
Like, yeah, but you could probably stop them. You need, like, a magic bullet or something, right? No. Regular bullets. That does the job.
Regular bullets actually cause more damage to them than if they were actual humans.
But they're super strong, right?
No, the gravity of Earth is much higher than in heaven, so they're weaker than, I don't know, a 14-year-old child.
Oh, okay, I get. But, like, they can jump really high.
No, once again, they gave up their wings, and they've never had to use their legs, so they're not very good at jumping.
I mean, and this was the joke, having not seen the film, but having seen the film, it's pretty accurate.
So accurate. It's like an army of angels is going to attack us. They're just going to, but they're basically zombies. So we'll just mow them down as they bump into things.
Yeah, wave after wave it's of not angels only from heaven being killed by guns.
It's not just that they're zombies, because zombies would continue to go toward the heroes, but most of them stand at the edge of vision to be shot at and make pretty good targets.
And a zombie, you'd have to at least hit their brain, whereas with these guys, you can be a glancing blow. Maybe they just heard a gun go off and they die.
Oh, and by the way, these angels somehow cannot breach the perimeter of a diner, of a desert diner. They can't come in through the
back door?
The doors. They put a table in front of that door.
That's a sturdy table.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's a diner-level table.
That's old-time crap.
And windows that aren't boarded up are covered.
Yeah.
I mean, they're made out of glass with the blinds drawn.
Nice. It was through the porthole of time.
Not the portal of time. The porthole of time. In the time boat.
They're on a cruise.
The cruise that goes around the Caribbean and through time.
Well, not only if you go out through the porthole.
All right.
Stay on the boat.
The captain asked me to give you a quick word of advice about your cabin. You are the one cabin that has the porthole of time. Please don't go through it, because you'll end up in time.
Captain,
that's just that's all, otherwise enjoy it. We've got the spa on deck 2. Shuffle. You know what? Here's two free spa coupons. Just don't open the porthole of time, please.
I cannot emphasize this enough. Do not go through the porthole of time.
Let me just tell you that again. I don't know why you'd go through a porthole at all. There's so much to do on the ship. I don't know why you'd try to leave it, but just this particular portal.
They have buffets on the ship.
Midnight buffet every night, and you don't have to stay up late because it starts at 11.
If you do happen to fall out the kids to bed. Of time, do
put
not
the kids
step on a butterfly. Please do not drop any shuffleboard equipment in the...
That might crush a butterfly.
It would change the history.
Let me just tell you this.
Do our buffets.
Don't mess with the portholes in general, time or not. You know what? I'll make an announcement to the whole ship. Just stay away from the portholes. Don't open them. Don't worry about it. Listen, we've got a whole mall on the ship. There's a pool.
Again,
why are you investigating the windows?
Again with the portholes.
Don't you worried about the breeze? It's air conditioned. Yeah. Just turn up the thermostat or down in the cabin.
Yeah.
Anyway, so see you tonight at the karaoke dinner.
On the Lido deck.
If you have any questions, I am
Lido deck.
Again the purser.
The bosun recommends the veal.
You'll find him in the forecastle. On the poop deck. Astern.
Don't go up in the crow's nest.
Stay out of the rigging.
If you need to go ashore, the coxswain will.
We're on a boat. You don't have a lot of time. You tend to shorten words. So even the porthole of time, we call it the port time. Just so if you could just stay away from the port time, that would be wonderful.
Well, on that note,
what
are you talking about?
I'll talk. There should be soap in the bathroom. If there's not, I'll get it for you now. Towels are in the closet right here. Okay, great. The soap, I don't know why that is. I'll check it. Well, people tend to stay out of this cabin. We try not to book it because, again, the porthole of time. So maybe they just didn't refill the bathroom last time because there was no one staying in this cabin on the ship. Then I'll get it for you.
Well, now that that
thank you. Oh, very generous, sir. Thank you. That's not necessary, but very much appreciated.
Now that that bit of theater is over,
that was a tip at the end.
Yeah, I understand.
We're gonna that's go back in and do the.
That's from my one man show, Poor Hole of Time.
We're gonna do the sound effect. Go back in and put the sound effects in afterwards.
Right? Yeah. Go, go, go. You can just. Go back and edit and loop those.
Yeah. It'll be great.
Layer it.
Okay.
Layers. Put layers in there.
Stereo. Multi-track.
I'll split. I'll put one on the left channel, one on the right channel.
Oh, that'd be great. So it's like it's going through your head.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll switch them.
That's how humans hear things.
Two ears. He's a house cat. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Wait, what was your name?
I'm Dan McCoy.
Oh, and I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin.
Stuart's growling like a cat.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I thought you were going to like that sound effect. That's why I did it.
What I like about it is it doesn't even sound like a big cat. It sounds like a house cat. It's not like you're a lion or a panther or something.
Yeah, well, that's it's the flop house. It's the house cat.
Mm.
So anytime the listeners at home hear, rah! They know that's a Flophouse trademark moment.
So that's our new mascot, the Flophouse house cat.
Yeah, house cat.
So when will you drop in that kind of sound effect, though? Like,
you know,
what situation would
you know when Elliot drops one of his trademark
zingers?
Yeah, well, it's like a knowledge based zinger, though.
Oh, okay.
And Dan does one of his like oh hum. Yeah, something like one of his like oh gosh darn.
Sure.
Oh, the misery of life.
Yep.
One of those.
I would go, row!
Okay.
And then...
So, Flophouse listeners, if you want to visualize what Stuart the Flophouse house cat looks like, go for it.
Let's move on
to... what's next?
Recommendations. Movies that you may have seen recently, but not if you haven't.
Can we recommend movies we haven't seen?
Yes.
In
which case, I'd like to recommend
that,
it's called Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow. Okay. It's a movie that doesn't exist, and I'm making it up as I go along. It involves a crocodile astronaut. He accidentally falls through a time machine warp and becomes a rock star in the world of the future, which also has dinosaurs.
Hmm. I don't know how I'm going to link to that on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I link to
it. And Gina Gershon is nude in like every scene.
Okay. Sure. So, like any Gina Gershon role.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Also, Carla Gugino is nude in every scene.
Like half of her roles.
Rocket Crocodile is fully clothed.
Do they have speaking roles, or are they just naked in the background?
I mean, there's a little bit of that.
Okay.
There's a little bit of speaking, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, just to make it not exploitative.
And to set up the nudity, like,
exactly.
Oh, man, it's so hot in here.
Or, I'm going to take a shower now, but I'll just stand around first.
Or, who put all these ants in my clothing?
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to see that experience.
So, Rocket Crocodile.
They run into the room.
I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, keep your eyes peeled at the Cineplex.
I'm giving it 5 out of 5 amazings.
So, go to Netflix.
There's a lot of scenes.
Put save and so that it goes in your queue.
whatever movie comes up on the autofill,
just take it. Closest to Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow.
Probably is Doll Man.
Soundtrack by Talking Heads. They got back together to do the soundtrack.
Wow.
Sure.
And Danzig.
You got them together. That's
Glenn amazing. Danzig and David Byrne finally working together.
I'm amazed that Rocket Crocodile solved the Byrne-Weymouth rift that has kept Talking Heads from reuniting.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's your recommendation, Elliot.
He has to stop the clothing bandit who's stealing clothing from all the beautiful women in the world.
Right. I think I've seen this movie in my dream.
You're thinking of The Devil Wears Nada.
Oh, okay.
Which you should also watch instead of Devil.
I thought I was thinking of The Invisible Maniac again.
You have like 3 movies that you recommend in rotation.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but he kills a guy with a submarine sandwich.
You mentioned it many times.
He's a house cat.
I don't think I've ever recommended this before, but I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to recommend it, and if I've already recommended it, you should watch it again. It's a movie called Head of the Family. I don't know how you would be able to find this movie because I don't believe it's on a DVD, which I think stands for digital video disc.
Or versatile.
Yeah, that. You might be able to find it on VHS. It's basically a movie about a small town shyster and his kind of slutty girlfriend who try and pull a fast one on a local family that live kind of in exclusion. They're known for being quite wealthy. And
it's like you're telling it. It's like this is a library story time.
Sure. They're a family of oddities. I believe they might have some kind of ties to mad science, perhaps. And the family is consists of three brothers and a sister, and each of them has their own special powers. You have one brother who can see and hear really well. You have one brother who's incredibly strong, but he's very stupid. You have a sister who's incredibly beautiful, but she's not very bright. And then
those two are kind of like each other.
Yeah, well, they're similar. I mean, they are related, for God's sake. So.
Okay.
And then they're all held together by the head of the family, who is this giant head with a tiny little body, who is super smart because he's a giant head, and he can control his brothers and his siblings telepathically. So this small-town shyster tries to pull a fast one on them and, of course, gets burned in the process. I don't know if I should classify it as, like, a horror movie or a thriller. It's just very strange.
Is it a thrillomedy?
Yeah, kind of. Part of why you should watch it is there is a fair amount of nudity. Okay. Jacqueline Lavelle from the Femalian series is in it, and she's just very good at acting, even when completely naked and tied to a stake that's on fire.
I think that's
and I can't say that
the special skills on her headshot.
Yeah, I can't say that about a lot of actresses.
No.
Hey, can I throw something else in there?
Sure.
I want to recommend The Invisible Maniac. About a high school teacher who turns himself invisible just to spy on and potentially rape women. Mm-hmm. And
version of the Hollow Man.
And then at one point he chokes a student to death with a submarine sandwich.
Pretty good.
It's a good movie.
All right. He does that, but does it have a talking monkey in it? Because Nuki does.
The Invisible Maniac jumps on somebody's head and smushes it.
Just smushes it?
Yeah, the person's head smushes, like it splatters.
Wow.
Apparently, when you become invisible, you also become ridiculously dense.
Interesting.
And then when you become visible again, if you die, you become visible again in the mythos of the Invisible Maniac.
That doesn't make it. Oh, well, it happens in the regular The Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What was I going to recommend, Elliot?
The Invisible Maniac.
Oh, yeah. I recommend another horror movie that's totally scarifying.
Really a horror movie.
About a high school science teacher.
To see naked ladies.
A high school science teacher.
Scary naked ladies.
Somehow manages to make himself invisible, and then he goes about killing a whole bunch of high school students, including a couple of topless chicks. Yes, Dan.
A couple.
And in the process,
mainly
he...
mainly using his invisible powers to see naked teenage girls.
In the process, he does some scary things, like he chokes somebody to death with a submarine sandwich. And another guy...
frightening.
Another guy he knocks over and then jumps on their head, which explodes like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
So, totally terrifying.
Directed by the same guy who directed The Hazing.
Really?
Yeah, Rolf Kaminski.
Man, that guy, nothing but
oh,
hits.
Oh, Rolf the dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
The
Muppet.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's do that take again.
I believe his ancestor was Rolfgang Amadeus.
It is a storied lineage.
Okay, guys, I'm all prepped. So
go ahead.
Okay.
Let me guess. Is it about a maniac that's invisible?
It's a movie called The Invisible Maniac.
Oh god. Is that the only movie you watch?
Yeah. I watched it the other day. That's not true. I don't own it anymore.
More.
Yeah, I don't have a VHS player.
The court forcibly removed it from him for his own good.
So it's called The Invisible Maniac. Guy goes invisible, kills a bunch of people, kills a person with a submarine sandwich, stomps on a guy's head and it explodes.
Does anyone rip off his own Dean Dinus, or is that just a Castle Freak
thing?
You're
ignoring the...
He said be quick about recommendations. Why are you slowing me down?
I mean, there's a lot of murder, but you're also ignoring the fact that the Invisible Maniac mainly becomes invisible to spy on naked women.
Well, of course, the part that Dan would latch on to.
But that's primarily the thing about the movie.
Well, I mean, I like the submarine sandwich murder.
Okay.
It's a real slice of life caper.
So there you go, unless Stuart wants to come up with a non-
with a real recommendation.
That's what I want to recommend this week. I figure if I repeat some of my recommendations, people are going to check them out and be excited.
Sure.
I mean, certainly they'll be looking forward to that submarine sandwich scene.
I mean, I like helping people out. It's kind of you're what I do, you know?
You're a real public servant, yeah.
Yeah.
In the cause of Castle Freak and Invisible Maniac.
Well, it makes people happy, you know?
All right, guys. Well,
where there's a ding-dong being ripped off, I'll be there. Where there's a submarine sandwich killing a guy, I'll be there.
Well, the sandwich doesn't kill the guy. It's a weapon. You don't blame the gun for shooting somebody.
Normally, at this point in the podcast, I recommend Invisible Maniac or Castle Freak.
And this will be no exception.
And and I was thinking back to another movie that I've recommended multiple times.
Head of the Family.
Head of the Family.
I'm starting to think you've only seen three movies.
But I want to recommend, this is an actual genuine recommendation, but when I think of Head of the Family, I think of the time that I first saw it. And at the same weekend, I also watched Motel Hell. Which was not great.
With Rory Calhoun.
Yeah.
But there were some okay bits. I did like the bit where the people were buried up to their necks.
One of them was John Ratzenberger from TV's Cheers.
Yeah. So if you want to relive the experience Stuart had when he was in high school, where the first weekend he saw Head of the Family, he watched that. And I think the original Night of the Living Dead. No. Return of the Living Dead. And Motel Hell in a back-to-back three show. That's what they call it.
Three-peat.
A three show. So you should do that. That's my recommendation. Watch those three movies so you can relive the Stuart Wellington high school experience. I'm going to take the ball on this one, dude.
Okay, ball's in your court. Okay. Run with it. Run with it.
A
drive down the court.
I think you guys all know that I like movies.
Dominate the paint.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
sound like you.
Let me describe a movie to you and tell me if it sounds awesome.
Okay, this better not be one of the three movies you've described.
Now, there's a teacher, okay, and this teacher turns himself invisible. And it drives him crazy. He kills a guy with a submarine sandwich. He jumps on a guy's head and smashes it.
This guy a maniac?
What, some kind of non-visible maniac?
It's actually called the Invisible Maniac.
It's called the Unseeable Crazy Guy?
I don't think that encapsulates what the movie's about, because he's also a teacher.
Wait,
so if you just said crazy guy, like maniac makes him sound more like a teacher.
No, it doesn't.
And then he shoots this other invisible guy
sound
with
like
a shotgun
mansion
at the end. Wait, what?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on. You know you're going to see another invisible guy get killed when you go see the Invisible Maniac. So, Invisible Maniac.
So, that's your recommendation.
Or, I don't know, go fucking watch Circuitry Man or some shit. I don't know.
So your recommendation is Invisible Maniac, one of your old standbys, or Circuitry Man or some shit. Just right. Random movies coming out of Stuart.
I'll recommend. You know what? I was struggling.
I feel like Stuart just looks through the TV guide beforehand and goes, I'll just say Invisible Maniac and then a bunch of these.
Okay, I'll recommend a movie I saw a long time ago that's really good, called Castle Freak, directed by Stuart Gordon. It's really awesome because this family moves into an Italian castle that they happen to inherit. And little do they know that there's this crazy misshapen freak, a castle freak, living in the basement, who flips out, kills a bunch of people. I think he bites a prostitute's boob off. And then I think he even rips off his own ding-dong in a rage. Totally awesome movie.
Sounds like an fantastic. X-rated end of Rumpelstiltskin.
Very similar, yeah.
So that's released by Kino, I assume?
Yes, it's Full Moon Pictures.
Oh, okay.
Close.
Very close. So I got two recommendations tonight, guys. The first one is a movie called Castle Freak.
Let me guess the other one. Does it have an invisible maniac in it?
No. For First off, Castle Freak, go watch it. It's got a.
How many times have you recommended Castle Freak?
It's got a Castle Freak in it.
Well,
Freak, come
it's
a castle.
It's about a family who inherits a castle. Guess what? Guess what that castle has inside it, Dan?
A freak?
How'd you guess?
It's in the title, I know. It's great. A dude rips off his own ding dong. It's awesome. The second movie I liked.
Stuart looks more in a movie.
Stuart somehow managed just to find something new to say about Castle Freak over and over again.
Oh, man. So the second movie I'd like to recommend is a movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
What? No. All right.
It is a...
I can't veto your recommendations, I guess.
It is a movie where these aliens who look like clowns come and murder people.
The Chiodo brothers.
Yep, Chiodo brothers.
Does anyone rip their ding-dong off?
Nobody rips off any ding-dongs.
But there are killer clowns in it.
Yep.
And they spell clowns with a K.
Space, yeah, comma, killer clowns,
yeah, it's
from
like,
outer.
Like Mortal Kombat.
I'm going to recommend the movie Gun Crazy to balance out those two recommendations, which is a very good crime movie from the 40s.
Yeah, that is a very good movie.
It's really good, about a doomed relationship.
But are
Bonnie and Clyde
clowns?
Owes a lot to it. There are no killer clowns, and no one's ding-dong is ripped off. But Gun Crazy is one I'll recommend.
All right.
And Castle Freak.
Hi, guys.
I feel like we have to do a Flophouse about Castle Freak some one of these days.
Well,
I would love to give it another view.
I think we should sign off so we can turn the air conditioner back on.
If you freak one castle this summer.
Castle Freak 3D, starring Keanu Reeves and Jeffrey Combs.
Which is the castle, which is the freak?
It'll be awesome.
We should speedily give our recommendations for movies that we actually like and think people should go out and watch.
Go watch them now.
Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to recommend a little movie called Castle Freak.
No, I know. You son of a bitch.
It's a great movie.
Does it have a scene where a guy rips his own
ding-dong? Well, he's a freak, so it's cool. But he just rips it right off. Like, it was there for a second, then all of a sudden it's gone. Ripped off. Okay, Dan, your turn.
I
think that brings it up to 99 Castle Freak recommendations. At 100, you get a free Castle Freak.
I watched a movie.
Home.
And I can rip off his ding-dong, too.
I am going to recommend a little movie called Castle Freak.
What?
Hello.
Directed by Stuart Gordon.
You know what, Stuart? When I said same movie, I was wrong.
I just want to say that Castle Freak, after its Blu-ray release, has gotten much more attention. And also possibly the street-level support from yours truly. Castle Freak has started to get a little more attention, but... I recommend that you guys either go buy the Blu-ray or write your congressman to maybe make Full Moon streaming available to everybody.
Why do we have to write
to proclaim it National Castle Freak Day? I like that. I think it's on the Wikipedia entry for Castle Freak that says, see also Head of the Family, Invisible Maniac, movies that are not related to it at all except through Stewart.
Quality sometimes. They're related because they're both Oscar winners, I'm assuming?
No. So, Stuart, what movie do you really recommend?
I was going to recommend Castle Freak.
Oh, okay.
What are you going to recommend?
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I can't think of anything to recommend.
Real? You? Mr. Recommendation?
Mr. Hollywood?
Mr. I'm going to recommend Castle Freak for the 8th time?
Yeah, actually, while I'm at it.
Mr. Hey. Head of the Family?
Mr. Invisible Maniac?
Hey, folks out there in La La Land, why don't you go to your local video
Los
store?
Angeles specifically.
Go to your local video store.
No Netflix allowed.
Go to the... Yeah, fuck that. Go to the horror/comedy department.
Not even a section, but a department. We had to hire another assistant manager just to cover the horror comedies. Just to see, just cover the frighteners.
Go down to aisle H. Okay. And pick up Head
Where
of the Family.
Where intersects row C.
Head of the Family is a great movie about a
you
dude.
You recommended this before.
Yeah. I thought that was the thing, because I was recommending something I already recommended.
It's right next to Castle for you.
Not if it's row H.
So you snag.
This is a video. This is a video store which has a whole.
Is this my recommendation?
It has a whole department for horror comedies, but none with that start with titles with the letters D, E, F, or G. What store is this?
This is that video store down over there.
He's dismantled your logic.
So you snatch up that head of the family, you go upstairs to the rental desk.
You get so they have a whole floor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wait in line behind the lady who's running Bicentennial Man. Okay. When she's done, when she's gone, then you pay your $1.50 to take the VHS cassette of Head of the Family home. So you can pop it into your player and have a nice night. Maybe pop some Redenbachers, some Jiffy Pop. Both of those?
Both at the same time.
Do a taste comparison.
It's going to be so...
Make a night of it. May watch a movie, do a popcorn taste test.
There's going to be someone somewhere out there who's listening to this on their iPod, and they're doing exactly what you're saying, which is so ridiculously specific that it's going to seem like you're talking to them and them alone, Stuart. Yeah. That's the beauty of this.
That's how podcasts work.
Yeah.
Sensual.
Can I get your attention, please? This is the captain speaking. Can somebody tell that house cat to stop partying?
An ancient prophecy speaks of a mighty house cat rising from a blood-red sea. Some say he was born in a puddle of toxic waste. Some say he's the son of the devil himself. He hangs out with the Flophouse guys.
He's a house cat.
Did you
know about the house cat? That house cat is a badass.
He's a house cat.
No nerds allowed, not when the house cat's in town. Did you know about the house cat? Excuse me, doctor, but the diagnosis for that house cat is radical. Well, of course, he's 10 feet tall. He's covered in silky white-black fur. He only wears his baseball cap on backwards. He's incredibly wealthy. Sunglasses? A necessity. Sometimes he wears overalls. He doesn't smoke cigarettes because they're bad for your health. His favorite instrument? The guitar. Favorite food? Pizza. Favorite movie? Road to Perdition. Favorite book? Tuck Everlasting.
House cat.
Did you know about the house cat? That house cat does not play by the rules.
He's a house cat.
It's been 4 days since we went out into the bush, and that flop house cat is going completely feral.
He's wearing his overalls, picking up pace, eating some food, drinking some brews, knocking over nerds, breaking the rules, ruining weddings and breaking up fools.
No way, two babes at once?
I've been with too many human zeros. Time to get with a house cat hero. No. Leave the sunglasses on. We sure hope you haven't been declawed.
Funky house cat.
Did you know about the house cat? Who gave that cat those clothes?
He's a house cat.
Mr. President, have you ever heard of a house cat? He's so powerful.
I don't know what's going on here, officer. That house cat should be in class, but instead he stole my girlfriend.
House cat!
Did you know about the house cat? Where'd he come from? That's the thing nobody knows.
He's a house cat.
You're gonna have to hand in your badge and gun unless you can turn in this house cat that's been terrorizing the town. And the award for baddest dude goes to the house cat, of course.
Roar!